Christian questions.
Abraham Lincoln once said, I've been driven many times on my knees by the old conviction that I have nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
And you can also contact us at our website, christianquestions.com.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And folks, we're truly glad you've chosen to spend some time with us here on this fine Sunday morning. So, Jonathan, what's happening?
Well, Rick, our question for this morning is, how should we be praying? And our theme text is found in Psalms chapter 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart.
And so, Jonathan, this is a discussion about prayer. And, you know, here's the thing. For many religions, prayer is a mainstay and a staple of ritual and lifestyle. Whatever the religion, prayer is a lifeline to a higher power, a calming factor in individual experiences, and a connector to others who share the same faith. Prayer can and should permeate the life of a Christian. So, if that's the case, then the question is, do we know how we should be praying, why we should be praying, and for what we should be praying? So, folks, stay with us this morning as we explore some of the many teachings on prayer by Jesus himself. He taught us a lot about what to pray for and how to pray in many different ways.
Well, Rick, you're not in the studio. Where are you?
Jonathan, Trish, and I are down south. We are in Virginia, in Chesapeake, Virginia, visiting our son Tim and his wife Sharon for a couple of days. So I'm calling in from their dining room table.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're having a nice time.
Yes, we are. It's a great thing to be able to visit family, especially when you don't see them too often. So we're thankful to be here.
Great.
So Jonathan, our conversation this morning is about prayer, and I want to preface it by saying it's a very, very basic conversation. There's lots of different kinds of prayer, lots of different ways to pray, lots of different reasons for prayer. But we're going to go through some very basic things built upon a couple of parables of Jesus.
Okay, and we've done several different programs on prayer that any can go to our archives at christianquestions.com and kind of put them all together, because there is so much to prayer, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is, and that's a good point. You want to get a well-rounded view of the subject of prayer, go to the archives and look it up there. You can do a word search on programs that talk about prayer. So this, again, very basic, very simple, very practical groundwork, and we're going to start. Let's start off actually with a soundbite, a very simple soundbite on prayer. It's from a place on YouTube called 24/7 Prayer, and it's just, you know, why pray. So let's start with that.
Have you ever wondered why so many people pray? Well, Albert Einstein said that there's really only two ways to live: as if nothing's a miracle, or as if everything's a miracle. Either life's a fluke and we're just a bunch of highly evolved animals on a big rock lost in space, or there's a creator behind creation, a God behind goodness. And if so, then connecting with him in prayer is pretty much the most mind-blowing thing you can do.
I really love that, Jonathan, because it sets out a tone for prayer on a very, very high level right off the bat.
Absolutely. I love it.
And, you know, when you have somebody like Albert Einstein saying, you know, look, you could live like everything's a miracle. And it gives you a sense of real, real appreciation for all the things around us. So let's get started, Jonathan. We're going to deal with two parables today. One parable we'll deal with in the first hour, and the second parable we'll go to in the second hour to keep it really simple.
All right.
So let's start with our first parable in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Jonathan, why don't we read through that real quickly?
Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
Okay, so it's a really simple story about prayer, and we're not going to get into the middle of the story yet, but I really like the line in verse 5, yet because this widow bothers me, I'll do what I'm supposed to. And,
oh,
and we're going to
so
get
annoying.
Yeah, stop already, will you please? And so we're going to get into that part, but let's start at the very beginning, even before the actual parable. The first verse of the parable is really, really, really an important place to start, because Jesus in the first verse, we're being told that there's a twofold reason for the story he's about to tell. So just reread that first verse.
Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart.
Okay, so twofold reason. At all times you ought to pray. And then secondly, not to lose heart. So let's break it down into two pieces. Why the first lesson of praying at all times? Well, let's take a look at a prophecy by Jesus that gives us a sense of great need. Luke 17:25-27.
But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all.
So this prophecy that Jesus gives is all about the conditions that would develop before and at the time of Jesus' return. And the lesson was simple. The trouble was going to surround you will be such that an instinctive prayer life should be in place. Now, Jonathan, if you recall, in the last few weeks, we've gone through, well, last several weeks, we've touched on first the life of Noah and then the flood of Noah's time and what it means for us now today.
Sure, yeah.
And if you remember, when we went through that lesson on the flood and the ending of an age, and remember last week we were talking about understanding the mind of God?
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, I have to just take a moment, get off of the subject here for just very quickly. Folks, if you are not a subscriber to Seek Your Rewind, the full edition, you are missing something really, really special. Last week's Rewind on understanding the mind of God was a marvelous, marvelous example of laying words out on paper in such a way that you can really, really, really grasp the meaning. So, Jonathan, how does anybody sign up for Seek Your Rewind, the full edition?
Well, they simply go to ChristianQuestions.com and sign up, and it's a free service.
All right. And what ends up happening once you sign up, there's no obligation, there's no cost. Once you sign up for Seek Your Rewind, the full edition, you get put on an email list, and you'll get an email once a week, and in that email will be a link to get to Seek Your Rewind, the full edition. And once you have access to it, you get access to all of the previous editions that you would like to look at.
Yes.
So last week's was marvelous. It was a great picture story of what we were trying to say in words. So I just had to say that because the story of Noah here reminds me of the content of that rewind, because a lot of it was talking about, you know, the end of the world. Remember the first world, the first dispensation ended by a flood of water?
That's right.
And then in prophetic terms, our world ends by fire, not literal fire, but the fire of destruction of the social order and so forth.
That's
so
right.
So I got off subject there, but it was a sort of a necessary roundabout approach, because Jesus in Luke 17, okay, now our parable is in Luke 18, and if you think about it, Luke 17 is right before Luke 18. So,
and that's talking about his second return.
Right. It's talking about his return. And so after he talks about his return, he gives this parable showing his disciples that they should pray at all times and not lose heart. So,
no, Rick, that kind of reminds me of, you know, at Jesus' ascension, the lesson wasn't that the world will see Jesus return in like manner. The lesson was for those who had a close relationship with him, they would see signs of his invisible presence and have that close prayer life with him.
Right, right. And to always be on their guard and to always be looking.
Yes.
So that was that's the important part of this, and that's why last week's program on understanding the mind of God and understanding study and context and so forth and by time frame is such an amazingly big part of our whole approach to Scripture. So Jesus in Luke 17 is telling them hard news. In Luke 18, he's telling them, okay, I understand I just told you some hard things. That's why you need to pray at all times. You need to be always ready. You need to be always sort of on your knees and in that state of praying. Let's just touch on a couple of quick scriptures on that. Very simple scriptures that we all know. Romans 12:12 to start.
Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer.
Okay, so, and that scripture in Romans 12 is a real sense of, there's a lot of different things that happen here. He's talking about the way we should be acting, and these are just a few of the words, a few of the lines in the middle of this big, big explanation of Christian behavior. And he's saying, you know, persevering in tribulation. Again, if you go back to Luke 17, you get a sense that, wow, tribulation is going to come. That's what Jesus said.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting that you rejoice in hope. Okay, so you've got the big hope, and the trouble's going to come, and then you need to be devoted to prayer so you tie it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the one we think about often about prayer, pray without ceasing.
Right, right. Again, just, what, three little words that can totally change anybody's life.
In your opening statement, you mentioned a lifeline to a higher power. Well, you know, Vicki is often a part of Christian Questions and helps out here. And her husband, Mark, a good friend of ours, he always reminds us at church or Bible study that the lifeline to God is prayer. We don't want to let go of that lifeline. We've
right.
got to hold on to it and keep it strong.
So prayer is essential. So there's three questions we want to ask throughout the program, Jonathan. How, why, and for what should we pray? Now, we haven't even discussed the parable, and we've already got a few of the answers in place.
Yeah.
What is the first, and there are many of these answers, what is the first why of praying?
Well, the world brings a level of trouble that we cannot cope with on our own.
All right, so you need to pray because the trouble is bigger than you are.
Absolutely.
It's like when you're going to fight the bully that's bigger than you. You can't fight him by yourself. You need help.
You got it.
Satan's the big bully. We can't fight Satan, so prayer is a necessary tool. What's the first how of prayer in our lesson today?
As we go through our experiences instinctively, not necessarily needing an outward posture of prayer, but always in the mode of an inner posture of prayer.
Now, by posture of prayer, a lot of times we envision, you know, to pray, you have to be praying on your knees. Okay. So,
but is that really the case?
No, and that's the point. That's not the case. While that's certainly appropriate,
sure,
being instant in prayer, pray without ceasing, all of those things are about praying in a way that your life can be changed in the middle of doing other things. It's almost covert prayer. Nobody necessarily needs to know you're praying, but have that prayer attitude about you and that communication line open. So, Jonathan, as we go into our first break today, our discussion is on the how, why, and for what we should pray, and there's a lot more to talk about.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, how should we be praying? Coming up, our personal experiences can drain us emotionally unless we continually refill spiritually. How can we be consistent in our prayer life? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how should we be praying? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 at Means Are On right now, and our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And our subject this morning, as you mentioned, is how should we be praying? We're talking about prayer in a very, very basic, very instructive sort of way. We're not getting into the deep philosophy of prayer so much as the simple how, why, and for what should we pray. And in this hour, Jonathan, we're doing that by investigating a parable, which we haven't even really started talking about yet, of about a widow who goes to a judge asking for justice, and because she pesters him so much, he finally gives in.
All righty then.
So Jesus says that, it says in Luke that he's telling his followers this parable for two reasons. One, they should pray always, and then secondly, so they don't lose heart. We talked about praying always and pray without ceasing in the first segment. Let's talk about the second reason that is given in Luke 18 for this for prayer, and that is to not lose heart. And that is such an important reason, and Jonathan, because human beings are emotional beings.
Yes. And some more than others.
Yes. But if we lose heart in anything that we do, we lose focus, we lose determination, we lose strength, we lose energy, and we inevitably lose the battle. And
yeah.
you know that it's football season, and when they say a team doesn't show up to play, I mean, they did show up and they played the game.
But they lost heart.
Right. They had no internal drive that got them beyond the mechanics of the game. So with a Christian, it's the same thing. We have to have that internal drive that pushes us through this experience of life. So let's start with Psalm 43, verse 5.
Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
Our personal experiences, as is expressed in this psalm, can really drain us emotionally unless we continually refill ourselves spiritually. Okay? Now notice, it's not refilling ourselves emotionally to deal with the emotional battles. It's refilling ourselves spiritually to deal with the emotional battles.
Which is what we want to fill in our lives.
Right, because when you fill yourself emotionally, it's just going to fizzle out again, because
yes,
that's the way emotions work. So
yes,
prayer is for the purpose of filling ourselves spiritually, because our personal battles are too much for us. Now let's go to Ephesians 6:18.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
So in the first scripture, Jonathan, we read, Psalm 43 was about our personal experiences.
Yes.
In Ephesians 6, what's that one about?
Our brotherhood's experiences.
And those as well can drain us emotionally.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do we need to do?
Be filled with the Spirit.
That's right. Be filled spiritually, so when we're drained emotionally, something is there to hold us up. So when we ask that question, how, why, and for what should we pray, we haven't even discussed the parable, and we already have another answer. We already had a why and a how in the first segment. What's the for what answer about praying, just based on this part of our conversation?
Well, Rick, it's the sustaining and refilling and balancing of our hearts.
And, I think the key phrase that you just spoke there is the balancing of our hearts.
Yes, yes.
It's not all about how you feel. It's all about what you're capable of doing under the conditions, no matter what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where balance comes in. And that's what prayer can do for us. It can level us out, even if we don't feel like fighting the battle. There's a great quote here, Jonathan, from John Bunyan.
In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart.
Oh, I love that. It really, really puts things in a great perspective. Let's change gears for a minute here. And we want to make points about prayer throughout the program. And one of the ways to make a point about something is just to be funny about it. So we're going to leave that not to ourselves, because we're really not that funny. face the facts. You got to know what you are, what you're not. But we're going to be going to the skit guys. I love these guys. They are Christians that do these skits to make points about growing as a Christian. And this short soundbite, there's a skit they do called The Skinny on Prayer. And we took several of the little vignettes from the skit and just took a part of them for our program today. They're funny. And again, the reason we use the humor is to help us to maximize the privilege of prayer, because sometimes you remember something because it was funny. So this is about, we'll play it, and then we're going to come back to what it's about. The skit, guys.
God, I just want to be used by you, God. I want to be salt and light and light. Salt and sight and love and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit.
Somebody fell asleep.
Well, you know, and the point is sometimes we want to save our prayer time for just when we go, just before we go to sleep.
Has that ever happened to you, Rick?
You know, you get so tired that you just start to forget, and you just sort of drift away. And
that's happened to me over and over. Like, what? I was in the middle of prayer and I fell asleep.
Yeah, you know.
Terrible.
And so while it's good to pray at the end of a day like that, it's not good to just leave our prayer time for that end of the day.
Good point.
And so, and it's funny, you know, because you start to stumble over your words, and then you start to drool, and then you start to snore, and just none of it is good, okay? So, anyway, that was our first humorous look at prayer in terms of helping us really focus in on its privilege, because it really is. Now let's get to the parable here. Luke 18, verses 2 to 5.
Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection for my opponent.
Okay, so it's a pretty simple story that we're getting started with. Two observations to get started. What are they?
Okay, the first is the judge had no reverence for God and no respect for man.
Okay, so the judge was not a nice man.
No.
He had a position. He didn't like fulfilling it. He was a grumbling kind of a judge. And not the kind of guy that you'd like to have over for dinner, it sounds like.
No, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care about God, doesn't care about man, doesn't care about anything but himself.
Yep.
And so who's the other player in this parable?
Well, it's a widow from his jurisdiction.
And she brings to him a matter of legal protection.
Right.
And so, you know, and it might sound a little odd to us, you know, a widow going to a judge for legal protection. We have lawyers, you know, that do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the language seems a little bit different, but actually the Jewish law was very particular about protecting those who cannot protect themselves. And we have a lot of Old Testament evidence that shows us that. Let's just touch on a little bit of the historical background as to why this particular illustration would have been a very good method for Jesus to teach his followers about prayer. Isaiah 1:17 is our first scripture on the Jewish background, the context, the larger context, if you will, of this widow going to the judge.
Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow.
Okay, so you have that phrase, plead for the widow. In other words, we also have to put the context out, Jonathan, that in those days, a widow would have been a very helpless individual.
Absolutely.
Because the social structure was divided up, the woman was at home caring for and raising the children and taking care of the food and all of that, because that was a major, major full-time job. You know, you couldn't order out, you know, for Chinese and get it delivered to your house back then.
Right.
So it was plead for the widow. Be sure to take care of those who are in a very difficult situation because they are living a disadvantaged life. Jeremiah 22:3 also says the same kind of thing.
Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow. Neither shed innocent blood in this place.
So we have several scriptures that give us a sense of really protecting those who are unfortunate. And it's a wonderful thing, because a lot of times people look at the Old Testament like, oh, God is really harsh in the Old Testament. Well, these scriptures show a whole different side that they just, for some reason, don't seem to understand.
They certainly do.
So let's now go back to the parable. We've got the context, this not nice judge and this widow who really truly needs help with justice. Verses 4 and 5 of the parable.
For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.
So there's a great lesson here in persistence. And this judge, three more particular observations here. What are they?
Well, the first is, having no reverence or respect, he refused again and again to help her.
Right. So she
at first.
Right. So she's coming and he's saying, no, don't have time, don't care to have time, don't want to have time, just leave me alone. What happens?
Well, the widow persisted relentlessly, perhaps day after day after day.
Yeah, maybe she kept showing up,
I'm
you
still waiting.
That's right. You again? Yeah, well, I got nothing else to do because I have this big, big problem and I truly, truly need help. So what ends up happening?
The judge granted justice, doing the right thing for the wrong reason.
So he does the right thing, but his reasoning isn't really good.
No.
Now, is this parable telling us to wear God out so he will finally listen to us?
Of course not.
Because, somebody looking in on the scriptures can see that and say, ha, see, your God needs to be completely worn out so you can get his attention, because God really isn't paying attention. And that's not the case at all.
Not at all.
But it's using a very dramatic example of saying persistence is a real key here. So, we went to the humorous part of the trying to understand prayer through the skit guys. We want to balance that out, because prayer is a subject of deep respect, with the sort of a worship approach to prayer. This is a song called Take Me to the King. We're just going to listen to the first verse here by Tamela Mann. And it's about going to the King, going before God Almighty in prayer, and sometimes the sense that we have of helplessness and hopelessness and why we need to go to the King.
Truth is, I'm past. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left. Truth is, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. What else will change my life? Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring.
And Jonathan, that is such a wonderful example of the emotional distress that we all go through at different times in our lives.
It really does.
Sometimes you get all churched out, you're too weak, you have no strength, you have no tears left, you just don't know what to do. And that's where prayer is such an important thing. And again, prayer is not there to build us up emotionally. It's there to refuel us spiritually so that we can deal with the emotional turmoil that we feel based on the experiences of our lives.
Absolutely.
Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear your comments and thoughts about prayer and how it affects and changes things.
The conversation continues online at christianquestions.com. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook, and you can also tweet us at CQNetRadio.
All right. So Jonathan, we're running a little bit behind here. So as we go into this break, folks, the idea is to understand that prayer is such an essential part of our lives. How do we get our arms around it firmly to use it as best as we can?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how should we be praying? Coming up, the main lesson of this parable and what should be the focus of a proper heart condition. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how should we be praying? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Jonathan, as we go through our subject matter this morning, we're dealing with two parables, one in the first hour, and the second parable will be the second hour. This hour, we're dealing with the parable where Jesus is encouraging his disciples to pray. He's saying, you need to pray always so you don't lose heart. And he gives the example of a widow who goes to an unrighteous judge and begs him over and over and over and over again for justice, and he finally gives in and gives her justice. So
yeah, but that's not how God works, is it?
Well, and that really is the point. It's not showing us the character of God. It's showing us the value of persistence. And Jesus is using a dramatic example to show the value of persistence. And incidentally, the judge was supposed to be taking care of this widow. He was supposed to be doing the right kinds of things and only did it because she was persistent.
That's right. That was his job.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right. Get with the program, will you?
Exactly.
So let's finish up what the judge says and a little bit more of the lessons, more of the how, why, and for what of prayer. Luke chapter 18, now to verses 6 through 8.
And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly.
Okay, and we left out the last part of verse 8. We're going to get to that right at the end of the segment. But the lesson here, I think, from this particular parable is if an irreverent and disrespectful judge can do the right thing because he's pressed into action, how much more will God Almighty, who loves you, who knows what you need even before you do, how much more will he hear and respond to your most pressing circumstances when you go to him?
And well, Rick, he's faithful to his children.
Yeah, and that's the point. We have a faithful God. We sometimes forget that in our distress over situations of life. So there is a lot that we need to do to put ourselves in a position to be able to remember that. And Jonathan, the thing that most often gets in our way is our own emotions. It really
is. Absolutely.
So let's go with three more of the how, why, and for what about prayer. So lessons from this particular parable, how do we pray?
Well, Rick, the first one, how, is with intensity and focus.
Just like that widow, with intensity and focus, went back again and again and again and again to the unrighteous judge.
That's right, and it makes me her persistence wanting an answer to prayer.
Right.
Shouldn't we also be seeking for that answer that we bring before our Heavenly Father?
Right. So you bring that intensity and that focus because God is faithful, like you said.
Yes.
Why should we pray?
Well, we are helpless as widows and cannot overcome without help.
So it's a matter of putting ourselves in that position of being the one who is disadvantaged and fighting a battle that we're not capable of fighting. Prayer gives us the tool to be able to fight those battles in a much bigger way.
Yes.
And then for what should we pray?
Not anything that our heart desires, but first things first, just protection from our enemies.
And you know, that's a really important part of this particular parable. Jesus doesn't have this widow go to the judge because she doesn't have as much as other people.
Right, right.
He doesn't have her go to the judge because she wants something that her neighbor has. he has her go to the judge because there's a matter of absolute justice that she needs to have fulfilled, and she can't do it without the proper tools, meaning the judge doing what he is supposed to do.
Correct.
So that's a really important part of the whole prayer thing. Is it's not about what we kind of want inside of our heart. It's what we need. That's what Jesus is focusing on. So, Jonathan, why don't we go to the phones? I understand we have a call.
Yes, we do. We have Tommy from New York. Good morning, Tommy, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hey. I could relate to the Time of Lament song. I try to pray, and where are you? And I'm a Christian. I am 37 now, but I seem like I got prayer to do more when I was younger. And I don't know what it is. I know I saw a lot of preaching, and they say Christians is going to go through. And I can think of a scripture in the Bible. It says, like when Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed to God for it to be gone. But God said no.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going through something like that, and God just said I got to endure something. I don't know, but I haven't heard nothing yet, so I can't put my finger on it. So I'm like, you know, kind of stuck.
Well, you know, and Tommy, I'm glad you brought that up, because sometimes the answer from God is simply wait. I'm not done with your experience yet. You need to learn something more, or I need to learn something more. So a lot of times, the real answer for prayer is in our not only our persistence, but our patience to see how God may open a door. And he may, you know what? He may be opening a window when you're looking for him to open a door. So it's one of those things where sometimes it just takes a long time, but you have to be faithful in that prayer.
And in dealing with the prayer, I mean, honestly, it got to a point of things getting real, real terribly bad, to the point of some years ago I got like self-destructive. But I can relate when you say, you know, you got to wait, because after I got to a point of being self-destructive, I mean, I did at that moment. I heard some ministering angels like speaking to me, you know, telling me not to do those things that I was debating on doing. So, and that's during this whole situation of what I'm going through right now. I've been going through this for about like a couple of years now. But I don't know. Maybe it's something I got to wait for. I got to be patient. And it's hard to be patient when a person is going through so, so hard mentally, spiritually, and physically, like really mentally and like spiritually. It's real hard to be patient when a person is really, you know, got a good heart of being persistent and searching it. Nothing is happening.
Yeah, and Tommy, I can relate to that. It is really hard, and I really appreciate your call and your sharing your personal experience with us. It's so, so valuable. Thanks so much for that. But you know, the important thing, folks, is in looking at Tommy's experience is that's what being a Christian is. Remember, being a Christian is being a footstep follower of Jesus. Jesus' life was not easy ever at any time, but he walked through each experience because he was doing the will of God and not his own will. We, too, must follow in Jesus' footsteps. It's not easy. God wants us to be crystallized to the character of Jesus, and that's why we have these difficult trials and tribulations. So again, Tommy, thanks. Your call was really, really, really valuable to us, and God bless you in your experiences.
Thank you.
Take care, Tommy.
Jonathan, what a great call, because it really puts things in perspective. On the necessity of prayer. And Tommy's personal experience is one that we all have had at one point or another in our lives, I'm sure. So, folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And don't forget our website, christianquestions.com.
So, you know, let's get back to the humor part, because it's going to balance out a little bit of what Tommy was saying. He was talking about an intense experience. Let's go back to the skit guys and their skit on the skinny on prayer. And this is a prayer request from one of the skit guys in this humorous skit talking about muting his mom. So I'm warning you ahead of time. We're playing this for the sake of understanding prayer through a little bit of humor. Let's listen.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus, and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see. The uno thing on my list is my mom. And so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother. And I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs, and that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps, and she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great.
I don't know, Jonathan. What do you
think? Oh, my, my. Rick.
But, you know, again, the point of it is sometimes we get tied up thinking God is like Santa Claus. And you write a letter to Santa Claus, you know, telling him what you want for Christmas. And, you know, look, Santa Claus isn't real. And treating God like Santa Claus is not a real approach to God either. So we have to be careful that we don't make God like this personal genie that just will give us whatever our wishes are, because that's not the way it works. That's not what prayer is for.
It's for our spiritual growth and development, right?
Yeah, absolutely, positively, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that's what it's for. So when someone's going through something like Tommy experienced that he shared with us, we have to be focused on what are we supposed to learn spiritually from this? How am I going to become more like Christ through this?
Yes.
Great quote here from Corey Ten Boom.
Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden.
All right. So, you know, we can have things that can be small, or we can have things that can be large. All of them are appropriate for prayer if we put it in the right perspective. Jonathan, our time is almost up for this segment. We had several things we wanted to touch on. Let's just touch very quickly on Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. Read through all of those verses.
When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
Now see, the great thing about these verses, there's lots of things here, Jonathan. Folks, get Secret Rewind, the full edition. Sign up now at ChristianQuestions.com, and you'll see some of the explanation for these. But the great thing about these verses is these are the verses that are right before the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, very important.
And we don't think about these verses that much because we always think about the Lord's Prayer. Everybody can recite it. And yet in these verses it says, don't use meaningless repetition. So the Lord's Prayer was not given to us as a prayer to recite over and over and over and over and over and over again as our prayer life. But
and Rick, when you do that, it makes it... just like it makes it null and void because it doesn't mean anything then.
Right, right. And Jonathan, I just want to say, I know we have some folks on hold. We're going to take their calls in the second hour because our time is almost up for this hour. So hopefully they can hold on through to the second hour. But so the idea, Jonathan, is prayer is a changing experience for our lives. It's not an emotional outlet, although it can be, and that's a good place maybe to start. But there's much, much more to prayer than just that. Let's read the last part of the last verse of the parable. And how much time do we have before we're done here?
We have about a minute 30.
Okay. So the very last part of verse 8, Luke 18, verse 8.
However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
So that's an important question because... what Jesus is saying in this parable, remember this parable was given because you should pray always so you don't lose heart.
Yes.
So there is a direct application of this parable to our time here and now.
Right. The day we're living in is the question, is there faith on the earth now?
Right, right. And the answer is probably not nearly as much as there could be. So perhaps these lessons on prayer were given not only to establish each follower of Christ in their own personal walk of sacrifice, but to establish a culture of prayer for the body of Christ that could be passed down through time until the time of the end in which we live. So, Jonathan, Jesus is teaching his disciples then how to pray so they could teach the followers that they would bring to God, so they could teach the followers that they could bring to God through Christ, so forth and so on, all down through the age. So the idea of this is not just about you and prayer, but it's about your responsibility to learn how to pray, why to pray, and what to pray for, and then to pass that incredibly important knowledge and understanding on to others of the same kind of faith that you have.
And teaching our families, our children, is so crucial.
It is. It is. And so often, Jonathan, prayer gets misused in our world. That's something we can touch on a little bit more in the second hour. But for now, we've had the parable of the widow with the unrighteous judge and the lesson of persisting in prayer so that we can find God's will in our lives, not what we want, but what God wants for us through Christ. In the second hour, we've got another parable coming up. That'll be happening real soon. But till then, how should we be praying? For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we'll be back soon. Prayer, it's essential in our lives. We'll be back in a few minutes. Think about it. Your distress and in your need, would that you might pray also in the fullness of your joy and in your days of abundance. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, we've got a very, very important subject on the table this morning.
We really do, Rick. And our question this morning is, how should we be praying? And our theme text is found in Psalms chapter 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And Rick, I love that quote. We always pray in distress and need. But the goal is we should be praying always in joy and happiness and abundance throughout our whole lives in every circumstance.
Right. Prayer should be a way of life no matter what way our life is going.
Yes.
So that, and that's a real, real test for us because it's so easy to forget when things are going well in the way you like them and you feel good.
Absolutely.
But prayer is just as necessary in those times as it is in the times of distress. In the first hour, Jonathan, we talked about a parable that Jesus taught about prayer, about a widow going to a judge for justice, and the judge was not a good man.
No, he wasn't.
And she needed to have justice served according to the law, and by persistence, the judge did the right thing for the wrong reason.
Right. Jesus, unlike our Heavenly Father.
Right. Unlike our Heavenly Father, who does the right thing for the right reason, but doesn't always do it exactly when we want and how we want.
Exactly.
And that, again, I'm reminded of the phone call we had in the first hour from Tommy, who was in distress. He was really in distress talking about the difficulties of his experiences. And, you know, sometimes, Jonathan, our prayers need to be focused on not God necessarily lifting a trial from us, but learning to accept the trial as a tool to become more Christ-like.
Yes.
So very, very important lessons from the first hour. The second hour, we have a whole different parable, Jesus teaching on prayer. Same chapter of Luke. You know, we went Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, and now we're going to pick up Luke 18, 9 through 14. There's going to be...
And Rick, we're still asking those three questions, though, through this parable, the how we pray, the why we pray, and for what should we pray for?
Right. So those three questions are going to be echoed again through this hour. And folks, if you have a thought, you'd like to participate with an experience or a question or a comment or an observation, please do at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And stay connected to Rick and I at ChristianQuestions.com.
All right, so another parable of Jesus that illustrates these 3 points of how, why, and for what should we pray. And remember, this parable now is being spoken right after the last parable we talked about in the last hour.
And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.
So a different parable, a different set of players, a different story, and most importantly, Jonathan, this parable is addressed to a different audience.
It really is.
So reread verse 9, because, you know, in the first parable, it was obvious Jesus was talking to his true followers. Verse 9 of Luke 18 tells us the new audience that Jesus is focusing his attention on here.
And he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt.
So it's talking, so you say, okay, who's he describing? Who were these people that trusted in themselves that they were the righteous ones and viewed others with sort of a looking down their nose, saying, you pitiful people around me, too bad you're not as good as I am.
Well, we obviously know the context is he's talking about the scribes and Pharisees.
Right, right. And you know he's talking about the Pharisees because in the parable, the first line of the parable says one of the 2 men praying is a Pharisee.
That's right.
Okay. Luke 16:15, though, is another situation where Jesus is describing the Pharisees. And interestingly, Luke 16:15 is in the middle of Jesus telling several parables to several different audiences. And he had just finished speaking a parable that got the Pharisees a little bit riled up. And they were grumbling about what Jesus had said. And here's his response to them in Luke 16:15.
And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God.
So he looks right at them and says, look, you justify yourself before God, but God knows who you are. God knows who you are. God knows what you are. God knows what you're thinking, how you're thinking. So you can't pull one over on God Almighty. And it's interesting that Jesus puts this in perspective, had put this in perspective with the Pharisees many times already, and yet in this parable he sees a need to again address those who had such high confidence in themselves and nothing else. So with that in mind, let's get down to the parable. Luke 18:10.
2 men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector.
Now, the good thing about this is both the Pharisee and the tax collector went into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
So they know where to go.
Exactly.
Right. They know that God, they go to a holy place to find the holiness of God. And I think that's an important place for us to start with this particular parable, is understanding that they're in the right place. And they're both doing the right thing, but the results aren't going to come out right all the time.
No.
So that's a really...
And it's the attitude that they go to the right place.
Right. Okay, so that's another good lesson for us, that look, we can be in the right place or we can be doing the right thing. It doesn't mean we're going to get the right response.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's important. Let's just go to just a couple of lines from one of the commentators about discussing these two individuals, the Pharisee and the tax collector, because they're two very distant parts of the same society.
Gill says, the one, a Pharisee, one of those that trusted in themselves as righteous and despised all others, especially publicans and sinners, of these are these see Gill on Matthew 3, verse 7. This was the strictest sect among the Jews. They were men that prayed and fasted much and were great sticklers for the ceremonies of the law and the traditions of the elders and did all they did to be seen of men.
Okay, and now the other?
The other, a publican, a gatherer of Roman tax, though by nation a Jew, and therefore such had great contempt by the Jews in general, nor would they eat or drink and converse with them.
So you have the two complete opposites of Jewish society. The Pharisee, who was supposed to be the most righteous, and the tax collector, who nobody liked.
They despised them.
They did.
Yeah.
And just before we go to the phones, Jonathan, just one more verse on the difference between the tax collectors and the Pharisees. And this verse in Luke 15, verses 1 to 3, really explains how the Pharisees thought about these people like the tax collectors.
Now, all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable, saying.
And so then he goes on to the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the unjust steward. So he tells them several parables to reach all parts of his audience. But again, the scribes and the Pharisees grumbled because these people were dirty in their own eyes. But the interesting, the interesting thing is they weren't dirty in the eyes of Jesus.
Good point.
So they were all the same. Go ahead.
Let's go to the phones. We have Julius from Groton. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for the Bible study.
You're welcome.
You know, what a sad world we live in. If prayer was ever needed, it's needed now for God's kingdom to resolve all the issues.
Amen to that.
All the misery, all the injustice. No doubt there's a lot of injustice out there. The, you know, that first parable, if I may go back to Luke 18, you are still in Luke 18, but the first one, the unfortunate widow.
Yes.
Well, you know, I've always been puzzled by verse 8, where it's, you know, it seems like it jumps into something else, but it doesn't. Faith, I connect that to Hebrews 11:6, and a text you quoted that time before, I'm sure. He that cometh to God, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. What a beautiful promise, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And also, a cute saying about the prayer is not, prayer is seeking God and not giving him instructions.
There you go.
I like
and remember the saying I shared with you before, it's worth repeating. If God is your co-pilot, switch seats.
Yep.
And here's a final one about to Christmas. Since we're in that season, every year I clean the chimney and leave Santa Claus cookies and milk. So this year I got a text in advance from Santa Claus. Please be sure that the cookies you leave me are gluten-free. God bless.
Take care, Julius.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So Julius, adding a lot with a lot of little one-liners. Gluten-free cookies, that's something that's a lot pretty popular these days.
It is.
Anyway, thanks, Julius, for the call and the focus on making sure that we're not giving God instruction in our prayers. And it's interesting because the next line in this parable, verse 11 of Luke 18, really paints a picture of what the Pharisee is doing.
The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself.
And, you know, it actually means he was praying to himself. I mean, when you look it up, it's praying to or towards himself. So he was praying towards himself, about himself, for the benefit of himself, and nothing else mattered. And
instead of to our Heavenly Father.
Right, to seek out, like Julia said, to seek out instruction. So with that in mind, with that picture in mind of the Pharisee and that self-righteous attitude, let's go back to the skit guys for another humorous look at how not to pray. And this is really good because it fits right in with the Pharisee about, you know, giving God a show. I mean, showing him just how good and righteous and how upright you are, so God can certainly know it.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault. That is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress him, give him a show, just to show him how much I love him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God. Oh, Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee. How now? Brown cow, oh, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so merrily, merrily, down the stream.
All righty, then. What was that supposed to mean?
Well, Jonathan, the whole point is, you know, he was so tied up in giving God a show that he just, there was no sincerity. There was nothing in that prayer, nothing in that prayer that was asking God for grace and strength, that was giving God honor and glory. Nothing. And that's the same kind of prayer the Pharisees were focused on, praying about themselves for the benefit of themselves so that they would get what they wanted out of the situation. And, you know, we don't have time in this segment, but folks, again, Seeker Rewind, the full edition, sign up at ChristianQuestions.com. Isaiah 65, 2-5. Jonathan, we're not going to read it. Matter of fact, let's go into a break right now because we've got people waiting on the line and we got a lot to do. Folks, we're talking about the intensity and necessity of proper prayer in our lives.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, how should we be praying? Coming up, our prayer should be thankful. Does that include thanking God that we are better than others? Look, he chose us, right? Wait. Oh, that's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how should we be praying? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, this is an important subject. I want to stress also that this is certainly not a comprehensive look at prayer. We're just taking apart a couple of parables and getting some of the sense of how prayer should work. And just before we go to the phones, Jonathan, let's finish the thought of how the Pharisee prays. You know, you read the beginning of verse 11 in the last segment. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. Let's continue and learn how not to pray here.
God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes of all that I get.
I mean, it sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it?
I don't think so.
So what? Here's the thing, Jonathan. This prayer consists of thankfulness, right?
Yes, but it's supposed to.
Well, but you know what? He's thankful for the wrong things. He's thankful for self-proclamation and for ego. I mean, you know.
How far is that from Christ-likeness?
Right. You know, you say, well, I'm praying thankfully. Yeah, but what are you thankful about? It's missing the entire point. We won't read the scripture, but 1 Corinthians 4, 7-8 really addresses that. Like, you know, what do you have that you have not received by grace?
Everything.
Right. Let's go to the phones.
All right. Well, we have first Beth from Tennessee. Good morning, Beth, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great.
Well.
Hey, I just want to say, first of all, Merry, Merry Christmas. Christ with us. I want to thank you guys for what you do every week. It's been such a wonderful, wonderful gift to me. And I just want to say thank you so much. I also want to say, you know, to echo what Rick said, you can't pull one over on God Almighty. He knows what you're going to pray. He knows what's in your heart. And I wanted to say to Tommy, if he's still listening, God has already answered your prayer, Tommy, and you just have to ask him to take your hand and lead you through it. get you through to the other side, because he will. And I love you guys so much, and that's all.
That's plenty. Thanks so much, Beth. We really appreciate your contribution.
Thank you very much. Love you guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you know, she,
Merry Christmas.
She really did put a clarity on the situation that Tommy prayed was talking about in the first segment, that you know, God is with us if we are with Him, but let Him walk us through our difficulty and our experience, and that's how God answers our prayers many, many times. Beth, thanks so much for that. And it really does put things in perspective. Jonathan, let's go. You said you had somebody else waiting on the line?
Yes, we do. We have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
See you too.
And we have Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. How many times do we pray and listen to the worry in our own minds instead of knowing the love of God in our own hearts? 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. In a situation, there is action to be taken, but the most important action is trust in God. We ask before God, but we also must be quiet before God to allow ourselves to be present with Him. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that you may be strengthened in your inner being through His Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are grounded in love.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
And Jonathan, I think, again, Randall nailed it down. He says, you know, how often do we listen to the worry in our own mind instead of listening to the love of God in our heart?
Absolutely.
And you know, we have to make sure that we are really looking for and focused on the right things with prayer. So, Randall, thanks so much. Beth, thanks so much for your contributions. We really, really appreciate them. They make our program so much better. And, folks, again, if you would like to participate, please give us a call, 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.com. And don't forget, we have a free app for your smartphone. Just go to your app store and type in Christian Questions, and it connects you to everything Christian Questions.
All right, there you go, free app. And if you'd like to email us personally, you can do so at Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. So, Jonathan, at the end of this little section of the Pharisee showing, you know, strutting his stuff before God, if you will, how should we not pray?
Well, don't pray thankfully as one who proudly stands above the crowd.
So, folks, it's so important that we keep things in the right perspective. And I think everybody has been saying that. All of our callers have been saying that along with the scriptures, have been guiding us to that realization. So now, Jonathan, I want to do something here that I debated about doing on the program, but I think we want to do it because it's important. We live in a world of great mockery, especially when it comes to Christianity, unfortunately. In our country here, it has become commonplace to mock what we as Christians believe to be important. We're going to play, and this is almost a two-minute soundbite, but folks, we want you to listen to this. We're going to play for you a benediction or given at the beginning of a commission of Lake Worth City, Florida commission meeting. They opened their meeting with a prayer. Well, this particular time, they decided to allow an atheist to offer the prayer. Now, Jonathan, there's something wrong with that picture right off the bat, isn't there?
There is indeed.
Because an atheist doesn't believe that they should pray. So the mere act of asking an atheist to pray is an act of mockery. I want you to listen, folks. I want you to listen to what gets said, because this is how something to help us understand the kind of world we live in and the necessity for true, honest, deep, and sincere prayer on behalf of those who do actually have faith. So I apologize in advance for this soundbite, because it's somewhat offensive to a Christian, but I want you to hear it. So let's listen.
If everyone would please rise for the invocation, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Vice Mayor Scott Max.
Our collective atheism, which is to say loving empathy, scientific evidence, and critical thinking, leads us to believe that we can create a better, more equal community without religious division. May we pray together. Mother Earth, we gather today in your redeeming and glorious presence to invoke your eternal guidance in the universe, the original creator of all things. May the efforts of this council blend the righteousness of Allah with the all-knowing wisdom of Satan. May Zeus, the great God of justice, grant us strength tonight. Jesus might forgive our shortcomings, while Buddha enlightens us through his divine affection. We praise you, Krishna, for the sanguine sacrifice that freed us all. After all, if Almighty Thor is with us, who can ever be against us? And finally, for the bounty of logic, reason, and science, we simply thank the atheists, agnostics, humanists, who now account for 1 in 5 Americans and growing rapidly. In closing, let us above all love one another, not to obtain mythical rewards for ourselves now, hereafter, or based on superstitious threats of eternal damnation, but rather embrace secular-based principles of morality and do good for goodness sake. And so we pray. So what?
So, Jonathan, how are you doing after that?
Not happy camper, Rick.
Well, and again, the reason we let this be broadcast on our program is to, folks, look, prayer is such a deeply important part of our lives, and there are those who would just simply make a mockery of the things that we hold to be sincere. Now, what should we do in those cases? Should we fight with them? Should we demonstrate against them? You know what Jesus says? We should pray for them. We should pray for those who despitefully use us. And that's exactly what that was. You know, he said that, you know, we want a society without religious divisions. And in so doing, by mocking those of us who have faith and who pray, he was creating a massive religious division.
He was. Yeah.
So he was saying he wanted, really saying he wanted a society without any religion at all, which is just, it's hideous to think that our country has degraded itself so far as to allow and accept things like this. So that reminds me of the prayer of the Pharisee, Jonathan. It was meaningless.
It was
a mockery about the things around them and had no redeeming value of anything.
And they had the responsibility to spiritually lead the children of Israel.
Yes, they did. So before we go on to the next phone call, you know, how, why, and for what should we pray? The wrong why of prayer in relation to the Pharisees, Jonathan, is what?
Praying to justify oneself by focusing on the sins around you.
So, and that's what, in fact, what the Pharisees were doing. And in so doing, they were committing those very sins that they were focusing on a spiritual level.
Exactly.
And, Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right. Well, we have David from Indiana. Good morning, David, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Thank you. That was quite a Marxist philosophical expression there.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't pretty.
You know, that pretty much is, you know, what Paul dealt with the thorn in his side. That's all part of it. The sin is a good representation of the cross Christ carried, and I think that's why he told us to pick up our own cross and follow him. That's kind of made me lose my train of thought. But you know, putting off the old man. When we're in this sinful world, when we take our eyes away from the Spirit of God, when we don't see the light, we are dwelling in that sinful world, and we're all there. You know, and sin is just there's an awful lot of pain that goes along with sin. It takes an awful lot of sin for these cups of God's wrath to be filled up. That the time is coming, but you know it is not because our Lord wanted this time to come. He gave us the opportunity and the choice to turn away from it. It is a sadness when you know that 20% as the man commented on that there may be 20% communist in this country anymore. The pride of man, they elevate themselves to a God status, but there can be nothing under them, you know.
Right. Well, David, I think that really does nail down the point. It's the pride of man elevating themselves to the status of God. David, thanks so much. We appreciate your thoughts, your comments, and your patience in waiting till we could get to you.
Oh, one thing, sir.
What's that?
If you know, I find with myself, a prayer of repentance is an excellent way to start with prayer. It puts you, anything outside of the law of God is sin. And, you know, I think, too, that's what God was telling Paul with that thorn in his side. We're watching the development of a righteous man.
Right.
All through the gospel.
Excellent. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye. So, and Jonathan, he's right. You know, putting things in perspective, you know, a prayer of repentance is a great place to start.
Yes, it
prayer.
Is.
But you know what? That's not the place we need to end. You know, praying with repentance is important, but that's part of the prayer process. There's so much more to it. And as we focus on the unfortunate prayer of the Pharisee in this particular segment, we're just about out of time for this segment, but there's a couple of more how, why, and for what we should not pray here. You mentioned to us the wrong why of prayer just a moment ago, praying to justify oneself by focusing on the sins of others. What about the how not to pray? What does that mean here?
Do not pray in brazen self-assurance that your station on earth is equivalent to your standing before God.
So to translate that, to make that clear, the Pharisee had a station on earth that was truly privileged.
Because, it was important, sure.
Yes, they were the spiritual teachers of Israel. But let us not think for one second that because we have a privileged position here on earth, it means that we automatically are privileged before God.
Good point.
What do we do with that privileged position? And the last, for what we should not pray, according to this prayer of the Pharisee, is what?
Acceptance to God based upon the things we do.
And that was what the Pharisee was saying. I'm not like this. I'm not like that. I'm better. I'm better. And that
because
is,
I do this, that, and the other thing.
Exactly. and that's exactly what David in the last call, David from Indiana, was saying. The pride of man puts themselves in a place of God, and that's
yes.
not where we belong at all.
No, not
so,
at all.
So with this segment, Jonathan, is really full with hearing from the listeners and with understanding the things as we go into a break now. Understanding the things that we should not do in our prayer lives so we can focus on communicating with God.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, how should we be praying? Coming up, so how do we become more like the tax collector? Don't you want to be justified before God? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how should we be praying? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.com. And if you'd like to write us, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320.
And Jonathan, last segment, again, I mentioned it before, but it was very full because we were looking at how not to pray according to the way the Pharisee prayed. We had some great, great caller interaction in terms of putting things in perspective of what to look for. And now in this segment, we really want to focus on let's all become like tax collectors. And let me rephrase that by saying let's become like the tax collector in a specific parable whose heart is in exactly the right place to pray in a way that God will hear. So again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday morning, 7 to 9. Let us know what your thoughts are. Now would be the time if you want to get in on the conversation. Jonathan, let's go to the tax collector's thoughts, Luke 18, verses 13 and 14, and see how where he stands before God and why.
But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.
So Jesus gives us the tax collector's stance and position and then tells us the lesson. Let's take it verse at a time. In verse 13, the tax collector is standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven. So what do you see? What's the prayer element that first shows up here?
Well, Rick, the first one is obvious, external humility. You know, humility is such a good place to start in prayer.
Right. So he's outwardly expressing gratitude and need with deep personal and public reverence. And you know, in that mockery that we played in the last segment, there was no public reverence there.
Not at all.
And here, it's the exact opposite. That public reverence that others can look at and say, here's a man who has a healthy respect and fear of God. And that's what we want. We want to be reverent toward God Almighty in our attempts to communicate with him. Psalm 40, verses 11 and 12 is a good verse on that.
You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Surround me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me.
So you have a sense of that reverence, and such an important aspect of prayer is reverence. So in that continual question we keep asking, how, why, and for what should we pray, what is the how in this example of the tax collector?
Well, Rick, it's clothed in humility so that it can be perceived from the outside as well as the inside.
So, you know, be humble on the outside. And, Jonathan, sometimes that's hard to do.
You're right.
Because when
it looks like weakness to the world.
Right. And when you are humble, you are vulnerable.
Yes.
And nobody likes being vulnerable, but that is something that is required of us as true Christians. Having said that, you know, Jonathan, we have used the skit guys throughout this program to give us a humorous perspective on prayer.
Yes.
Well, now let's go to the end of their skit, The Skinny on Prayer, and hear a true prayer, because they gave you all of these funny examples, you know, this, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. And now let's hear their expression of what a true prayer should be.
God, I have a lot of needs, and I have a lot of wants. And sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs and be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you.
Isn't that remarkable?
It is, truly.
You know, may the life I live be a life of worship to you. That encapsulates the whole concept of what our prayer life should be looking for in our prayer lives. Our life should be a living worship of God Almighty. That's what we should be. And that's what the tax collector in this parable was actually looking for. Because if we read the second part of verse 13, what does it say?
But was beating his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner.
And that very much like the prayer that we just heard from the skit guy. So the prayer element here is, you know, the prayer element before, he's standing some distance away, you know, not even willing to lift up his eyes. That was external humility. Well, what's the prayer element here?
It is inward humility.
Okay, and it's the passionate acknowledgement of who we are and how far short we fall, and the plea for God's unearned mercy. You know, the key is we don't deserve anything.
We certainly don't.
And so the plea for God's unearned mercy comes because Jesus died for us. And we have the ability and the privilege to seek God's mercy through the blood of Christ. Without the blood of Christ, Jonathan, we could not seek that great mercy.
That's for sure.
And we know that Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16 expresses that in terms of the importance of Jesus in relation to our prayers.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
So that scripture really puts in perspective. It puts Jesus front and center in the whole perspective of prayer.
Yes.
And it says that because of that, because Jesus is front and center, because his blood was shed for our sins and the sins of the world of mankind, therefore, we can draw near to God with confidence, not self-confidence, not arrogance, not ego, but with confidence to the throne of grace, that the throne of grace is an open place for us to go. That's what the confidence is.
Only because of Jesus.
Right, right. And that's why it's called the throne of grace, because grace is unmerited favor. So when we look at our continual question, how, why, and for what should we pray, what is the for what should we pray part of this section of the tax collector's experience?
For God to see us as we are through the eyes of his mercy.
And that's really what we want. We want God to be able to look at us through the eyes of his mercy. The pathway to the eyes of God's mercy is through the blood of Jesus' sacrifice. That's how we get there. That's how we get there. You know, the world is in deep trouble with God right now. The day of wrath is coming upon us. And now that's not a complete, utter, and ending destruction of all mankind, but it's a destruction of the societies of this world because they are godless.
Just that's right, because Satan is the prince of this world.
Right, right. Because we have destroyed God in our society, just as in Noah's day they had destroyed God in his society. A good quote here from Reverend Philip Brooks, Jonathan.
Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men.
And again, that the temptation is for God to remove things from us, remove, remove. And several of our callers, Jonathan, mentioned the Apostle Paul and the thorn in the flesh.
Yes.
And, you know, the idea was, now, the Apostle Paul wasn't saying to God, remove this because it's not convenient. He was saying, essentially, I could serve you even better. And he already had a pretty strong track record.
He certainly did.
So he's saying, look, I could do even better if I didn't have this. And the answer was no. The answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's where we need to go with our prayer lives, is to be willing to pray to be stronger under the burden of the trials that we bear.
And what was his attitude after he received the answer? Then I most gladly.
That's right. I will accept it and gladly rejoice, because when I'm weak, now I understand, then is when I am strongest.
Because he's leaning on the power and the grace of God.
That's what prayer truly does for us. Jonathan, as we begin to wind this discussion down, let's go to the last chorus of that song that we played a little bit of earlier. We would have liked to play more through the program, but we ran out of time. Tamela Mann, Take Me to the King, the last chorus of that song.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.
Leave me there.
I want to gaze upon your glory.
that's where we belong, isn't it?
It certainly is.
So that's what we really need to look for in our prayer lives. Take me to the King. I love that. I would have loved to have gotten the whole song on, but again, lack of time. So Jonathan, let's get to the conclusion of this second parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 18. We'll pick up with verse 14.
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.
So you have a very clear lesson of prayer here being laid out. We've got true blessing. That's the what of prayer. That can only come when we deeply desire it, and that's the why of prayer. And that can only come when we only through true faith, honesty, and humility. That's the how of prayer. So we've gone through the what, the why, and the how of prayer in many, many different ways with these two parables and gotten a lot of different small lessons on the subject of prayer. Now, Jonathan, about how much time do we have before we got to close here?
1:20.
Okay. We've got about a minute. Let's read through, because so many of our listeners mentioned it. Let's read through the experience of the Apostle Paul and his praying about this thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Just read through it.
Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it may leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ might dwell in me. Therefore, I will be content with weaknesses, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak physically, then I am strong spiritually.
So, and you added that physically and spiritually into the text.
Yes, I
there.
Did.
That was good.
Yep.
That was a good addition there. Because really, that's the point, is folks, sometimes emotionally we get disturbed and destroyed by the experiences of our lives or the lives of others. Take heart in the fact that if we feed ourselves spiritually, it won't cure the emotional distress, but it will give us strength in the distress to be able to bear the burden that God has put upon us for our benefit and perhaps for the benefit of those around us. That's the true power of prayer. That's the true power of bringing things before God with sincerity, with humility, so we can find His blessing and we can do His will, not ours. We hope you've enjoyed being with us today. We've certainly enjoyed being with you, talking about a really important subject of prayer. Get to work on it. Go find a way to pray so that pray for is God's will and His will alone. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we'll be back next week. But till then, how should we be praying? Think about it.